better camera.
I gotta get better friends.
And all right. Welcome back.
John.
Welcome back. To Green Fox Gaming, place delved to green impossible landscapes. We were just informed by Jean that he needs to get new friends.
And I second
that.
No,
he said better friends. Okay. He didn't say new.
Not
he said
new.
Better friends.
Just better.
That's fair.
He doesn't even care if they're secondhand friends. Still better than us.
There's got to be something better than this, right?
Look, there's also context.
Get a.
I've tried, John. It's like a grass is always greener type thing.
And it just
right. Yeah, and Brad just keeps crawling back.
Yeah, I've tried.
Seems like an abusive relationship right now.
Like, he's like, guys, I'm gonna go game with some other folks. We're like, you'll be back.
Be back. He's always back.
He's always back. All right, well, welcome back. We are really excited to get back off into Impossible Landscapes. It has been a minute. We have, we did Hellhole. We came back and did an episode of Impossible Landscapes where you guys got right to the end. We're right up there against it, you know, folks. Do you guys just want to like jump in? I don't know how long this one will go.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. So this is going to be, let's give a quick recap of just like where what's been going on. The crew, M-Cell, 1995. I'm about to recap the entire podcast in extreme detail. It's going to take an hour and a half.
Let's do it.
1995, M-Cell, Hank Ellis, Benedict Farthington, and Benji Potts are sent to the McAllister building to figure out what's going on and unnatural goings on with the disappearance of this girl, Abigail White. Right. They find out this whole building has been infested with this play, The King in Yellow, and that the parts of the building had actually begun to become a whole different world called the Night Floors. You guys eventually determine Abigail Wright's gone. We got to burn this place down. You do just that. You burn it down. This, consequently, becomes how Busiak Bartok is originally exposed to the unnatural when Busiak Bartok comes in to help put out this fire, a firefighter himself. Then, 20 years later, 2015, the team is brought back together by Elias Barbas, Agent Exeter, who tells you that you need to look into the disappearance of these agents, of these Delta Green agents, at this Delta Green sanctioned insane asylum, that you need to go in and look at it. You guys go in, it doesn't take you long to figure out something weird's going on here, and you go on the completionist run of Chapter 2. Where you go into everything, you find that Nurse Samahina and her family, originally through her and then her son, are also corrupted and are pulled into the King in Yellow. You guys then go and find out that Elias Barbas has also been corrupted and that Delta Green never called you in. That this is completely Dr. Barbas and his insanity has brought you guys into this. You guys get a hold of Delta Green. They tell you, hey, you need to figure this out. You need to contain this. You end up going to Las Vegas. You know that this other Delta Green team, this Michael Whitwer and his team, had been sent. You guys go to the Boxer Hotel. You go to Las Vegas. You're containing brush fires everywhere you go. And then eventually, you go back to the asylum, to the Dorchester, and you get pulled headlong into the night world, and you spend a little bit of time there. When you go through the night world, you meet a cast of characters, people like Mr. Wild, Dr. Friend. You eventually meet the director, Timothy Bile, or King Bile, as he is called within the night floors, within the night world. You guys go into a strange... You guys learn about the Pat Zoo, which is some weird relation to this whole story and this whole play production that's going on. You guys... escape this clown figure that you've seen several times after it almost obliterates Hank Ellis, and you get him back into the world, back to Boston. But once you're in Boston, you're on the run. You're on the run. Delta Green has told the world that you are escaped and dangerous criminals from this insane asylum. I don't know if it was ever said, but I'll actually say it now. The whole reason that Delta Green knew that you guys were in this is because you gave them Ophelia Citri. You gave Ophelia Citri to Delta Green. Okay. And they start talking to her, and they're like, uh-oh.
There's a problem.
Uh-oh. These guys are too these guys are too deep. Like, the idea that you guys had come into contact let Delta Green know, like, these guys are done. We've got to get rid of these guys. Like, so, if you hadn't done that, things might have been...
Could have saved ourselves a lot of trouble.
You could have saved yourself a lot of trouble by executing her in the desert. But... you guys come back in. You're beginning to be pulled further and further in. You're trying to figure out where to go. You escape Boston, but the whole world is getting the... And at some point in time, Benji talks about it. It's like the idea that the barrier between this world and the world of the night floors and the night world in Carcosa is getting thin, and it's thinner in some places than others, right? And you guys go to Chicago and track down this other showing of The King in Yellow, called Her Grey Song, I believe, by this Victor Carell guy. And eventually you get in this running gunfight with these damn gas mask dudes who have been tracking you this entire
Nazis.
Time. This group... not always with this guy. And all you really know about them is at some point in time I know you had heard that these guys are called the Static Team, right? And eventually you get this running gunfight, you end up at the Hotel Broad Albin. You go through the Hotel Broad Albin, you feed at least one NPC into a sanity wood chipper.
Exactly one.
Whispering. Exactly one, pardon me. You go down into the Whispering Labyrinth, and there is where Benji Potts, at the end of his rope insanity, meets his end. At the hands, literally at the hand of this entity, is wearing these long, golden but tattered robes with this mask, reaches out with a bandaged and elongated, odd gray hand, causing him to be liquefied with a single touch. Hank and Benedict flee and run into Busiak Bartok, who has also found himself inadvertently eyeballs deep in all of this.
Which I just realized Busiak has been there for 20 years by comparison to our time.
Well, in Busiak's not actually opinion, 20 years. It's been several months.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yes. He's actually been there
weird.
Much
yeah.
longer.
Oh, I didn't realize that till now. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you guys, eventually, you go and you find... And this whole time, you've been hearing things about the author and J.C. Lentz. You know, has been this kind of constant theme coming up. You end up finding the author's bottle. This bottle of J.C. Lentz, which you guys still have with you, canonically. You then go through into straight-up ruined Carcosa. Like, we're not in between, guys. Like, you guys are now there. You descend down through the water, through these massive leviathans, fight off these creatures, down to this war-torn Carcosa. You then go through the war zone itself. You can go through the silent city. You meet Ambrose and the child. You go through the museum, the Gallery of Shades, with all these things from all these different worlds, all these different times, all with one common theme. That they were inspired by the madness of the King in Yellow. Every single one of them. You almost lose Benedict to it. But you guys then escape. You escape through a strange coffee shop. And you end up, Busiak, Hank, and Benedict, at the gates of the palace. And in some ways, that's how we're going to pick up. In some ways. But in other ways, it's not where we're going to pick up. Because I imagine the camera is focusing on these three. Each of you, and by the way, one of you is wearing a giant pigeon like mask with like a long neck with like an articulating head at the top and like holes at the bottom where your eyes are. But then up here,
guinea.
The head is moving around. Yeah. One of you is wearing one that looks like a giant Burmese mountain dog. Busiak is. And then one of you is wearing like a big like Area 51, like Gray's, like alien face. Is what you guys are wearing.
Like,
you guys are all
messed up versions of Stargate aliens.
Yes. It's just like you guys are all over the place, and I imagine like we like the camera like kind of pulls like kind of pulls above you guys and starts to zoom out as we see you guys each turn and begin up stairs, step, 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 step. But the camera pulls and pulls and pulls until the palace is just a tiny speck. And then just as it pulls back out, you can see that at the center of everything is this city. And the edges of the city falls off into nothing. Mm-hmm. And there might even be, as we pull back, we might even see whole buildings just fall in on themselves and fall off into this void. And
we
pull
back and flat back earth situation.
You're right. The flat earthers are right all along.
Okay.
The impossible landscapes is okay. Flat earth propaganda.
Okay. All right.
This entire time.
Okay.
Confirmed. And we pull back and back, and we see that looking at all of it, that behind everything, as small as this piece is, the city, this entire place of Carcosa, we see that a huge eye is looking up at it all. But then the camera comes crashing back down, careening onto a parking lot in Boston, Massachusetts, as a dark blue sedan quickly like jackknives into a parking lot spot. And the camera pulls down and we see a familiar face. A familiar face for the audience, not for the players or for the characters. But a familiar face is a woman. She's wearing a dark navy t-shirt. There is a bag of bloody, gross clothes in the back seat. And she is cussing as she pulls in. I imagine she like punches the steering wheel a time or two, frustrated. This is the woman who Axel left in the parking lot, or like in the car. Like he got up and left. When he came. This is none other than Agent June. How are things going right now, June? Dace Ruthven, did you not check your fucking direct messages?
Can we pause?
Oh my god.
Damn it. I sent these guys direct messages on Discord.
We'll buff it out. We'll buff it out in post-prod.
We'll buff it
Jesus.
out. Every time. Just messages.
Very, very
you
good.
You have roll 20 pulled up?
Very good build up.
Oh my god.
I especially like the blank look.
That is the
start with someone else. Felt. Do you have to start with her? Start with someone else.
Okay.
I've never felt okay, more like a piece of that. Shit than right now.
All right. Then, okay, the camera smashes down. It smashes back up. Right back up into the sky.
Like a rubber band.
Who's directing this? Who's the cinematographer?
Fucking
weird choice.
Wes Anderson so shit happening.
All right. There is a... in Boston International Airport, I don't remember the name of it, two men converge on each other. Not because one of them's holding a sign, but because they have worked with each other before. One of them is looking down at his cell phone while Ronald Burbach walks up to him. Tell us what's Ronald doing here?
He doesn't know much. Doesn't know much, but he just has to meet up with Eric. He's got a bit of a heavy brown coat on. He's got a bit of a beard. He's about 30 years old, but he looks like he's seen shit. But he's just been told to meet up again. He's got a cleanup detail. He needs something that he needs to do, and he doesn't ask too many questions. In some ways, he's a bit too old for the shit, even though he's 30 years old.
Right.
He's seen too much.
You know, and that's what they like about you, by the way. They love that you don't ask questions. I will say that under your distinguishing features, your strength at 15 is Man Mountain.
Your he is constitution. A hulking man. But yep. strangely, go ahead.
No, it's, your constitution is that you're made of grit. And your charisma, because it's low, heavily scarred.
Yeah.
Oh, he's seen some shit.
He's seen shit.
Yeah. You actually, you know, it was weird. You know, you actually, apparently a call from the governor's office came through to the state police headquarters and requested that you be temporarily relieved of duty for some national security business. And while your captain didn't exactly like that, you couldn't really do anything about it. Now, Eric,
I don't give a shit.
Eric Carter. Oh, yeah. You've got a job to do. And Eric Carter is also here. Eric, you have an unopened envelope that was handed to you right as you got off the plane. You haven't looked at it yet.
Okay.
But what's Eric's journey here been like?
You said, so I guess in contrast to Ronald being a little bit more gruff, Eric's kind of in his early 30s. Clean cut, you know, he's probably got like something business-like on. He was, you know, he kind of sees Ronald and gives him like a nod. You said Eric was like looking at his cell phone on the way here, and he's just, you know, says Ronald, puts out his hand, shakes his hand.
Eric, looking good.
Yeah, you know,
same to you, sir.
I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
I'll just kind of hand it open, look, show this like unopened envelope. I was like, we better get somewhere we can read this private.
Agreed.
Yeah. Well, you know, and Eric, you know, you work for the CIA, you know, always tracking down enemies of the state, that kind of stuff. Some real spy shit. Under your distinguishing features, under your intelligence, always aware. Like, Eric's head is always on a swivel. He's always watching. And not just watching, always analyzing. That's what it makes him so good at what he does. And his power, his willpower, he's unflinching. Which is good for his work. Because it'll make you flinch. But I will say that you two are not just... You have some experience together. You've worked together in the past. And what kind of jobs do they typically call you guys for? What does Delta Green typically call these two people in for?
I think for Ron, it's been it's just cleaning up. He is the cleaner. He is that man that you send in to sit in the alleyway to wait until the right moment to clean up.
Clean up. To clean up Delta Green fuck-ups is what you guys do. I hope you guys have looked at your both your motivations list and your equipment list.
Yes.
It's good that you look at this. I will say that you guys are unified in one thing on your motivation. To destroy the unnatural. Now, this is something that does unify you. You and your third, who you have not met yet, a distinct distaste. Not a fear. A hatred for the unnatural. Disgust. And a desire to destroy it everywhere you see it. You guys go off to a kind of quiet side. You guys are both... former members of the military, so maybe you pop over into the USO lounge in the airport and get a little private corner. You open the envelope, and it's very brief. It just says that you are to meet your contact, an Agent June, at the Snooze Inn, and it has an address for the Snooze Inn. It says that you are now a member of the Operation White Noise. And that you are to, that she is, that Agent June is already, that this operation has already started, and that you are coming in to reinforce, or to meet Agent June and to follow her lead, that Agent June will be your team lead.
Has Carter ever worked with June, or know of June?
No, never heard of June.
Well, Eric, should we just get going?
We best be on our way. You know anything about this agent?
By the way.
Peaceful, and he pushes his glasses up and has that anime glare on it where you can't really see his eyes.
That's that's the thing. It's like, you know, I think if you look at Ronald Burbach, it's like, Burbach, he's a big scary dude. Eric Carter. Eric Carter is, he's, you know, he's got a 10 in charisma. His charisma's not affected. Eric Carter is, he's an intense individual. You know, it's like, it's one of those things, like, if you met these two and spend any time with them, you might be like, you look dangerous, but you might actually be dangerous. Like, Eric might be dangerous in a different way. And that's why Delta Green calls you. So, after sacking the last cinematographer, the new guy comes in, and again, there's a smash cut.
And there's a remake.
Monty Python style. Yeah.
Yeah. We see now Agent June, also known as Louise Maisel. She is in this car. Axel, like, so Agent fucking Jericho just walked out of the fucking car after taking a phone call. He just left and got a fucking, and not to mention that Julius has just been murdered not 30 fucking minutes ago. Murdered in that fucking hotel room, right? That some wild man crawled out of that fucking window that shouldn't have been there and murdered him. And June is sitting here having just thrown the last of your bloody clothes in the back. What's going through June's mind?
First off, fuck Axel. Leaving me high and dry. Jesus Christ, how am I going to contain this situation? Luckily, that is my specialty. As a paralegal, I know how to obfuscate crime scenes and possibly put some drug-laced money down on the crime scene to
and you just so happen to have like a
cartel motivated.
Right, you just so happen to have a big chunk of cocaine-laced cash for that reason.
Well, I don't leave home without it because I'm a practical woman and I have a big purse.
quite a large purse. Right. Well, and again, like, J cell, you know, different cells specialize different things. J cell does kind of specialize in this.
I'm picturing June as like a, so she's Hispanic. I'm picturing her as like growing up in Texas, so she might have a slight Southern accent, but she's been living in other areas that she might have lost a little bit of it.
Yeah.
I'm picturing a Hispanic Jodie Foster in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah. Like, very good.
Very put together, but there's like a grimness and a hardness in her eyes.
Right.
She's seen some shit. She's done two tours in Iraq as a medic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what'd she say involved with J Cell's thing is?
J Cell's specialty as well is kind of cleaning. You know?
Gotcha.
And and you just got off the phone. You just got off the phone with your handler. And he told you to head to the Snooze Inn in Boston, and that you've got some reinforcements who are going to be waiting for you there. And that...
Yeah, I'm going to do everything I can to contain the situation, maybe call a few contacts that can help me out with it.
100%. And just
pedal to the metal.
Right. Yeah, you've got this. You've got this unmarked sedan, which you have been assured is as clean as it can be, and that even if it showed up at the, that you were told specifically when given the keys to this car, if this car was dropped on the White House lawn, no one would be able to know where it came from. Like,
I go to the White House.
You go straight to the White House.
Just stop this. Ram through the gates.
They're like. And the guys are just
where
like,
where the fuck this come from?
Where'd it come from? you see, there is this, you get to the Snooze Inn, and you are, you know, and these two guys are probably told, you know, that to look for the sedan, right? And you get to the Snooze Inn and June, and you see that there is just a little kind of rundown place. This is definitely like a pay-by-the-hour kind of joint, you know, which is probably why they sent you here, you know, because it's quiet. It's quiet, and you're not going to be observed. there is a very small office that just has like a little security camera. You know, it's one of those places where they have the TV with the security camera facing people so that you know that you're being watched, right? Just to make it very clear. You know, there's like a woman sitting there. You don't have to engage with her. I will say real quick, this is probably a good time for June to check out the equipment that she has after all that stuff. June, I will say that June's distinguishing features are for dexterity, that she is lithe. Like, she is super, super...
Just like Jodie Foster. She's like, in that forest jogging every day.
Right. But it's like, but there's like an athleticism, like a utilitarian athleticism. Not big, not bulky, very good at what it does. And also that her intelligence as well, sharp as a tack. Like, nothing gets by her, which is, again, one of the reasons. And again, in her motivations, she loves destroying the unnatural. Has almost an unnatural distaste for the unnatural. Which, again, makes her very good for this job. So as you're looking through your equipment, just verifying, you know, because you're a good agent. You're a fucking professional, unlike fucking M-Cell. You know, J-Cell knows what it's doing. What all equipment do you have with you right now?
I have, scroll down. I was just there. Kevlar vest, 6,000 in cash laced with cocaine. Maybe a little bit less now since I left some at the other crime scene. Zip cuffs and 2 paralytic syringes.
Nice. Hmm. And of course, you also have that small duffel bag stuffed behind the driver's seat that's got something else a little special in there, your weapons.
Okay. Don't see that.
It's under weapons.
But I'll take your word for it. Oh, okay. I see. Yeah, the duffel bag. Got a Glock 17. Got a, Jesus Christ, Joe, a Mendoza HM3 submachine gun.
Wow.
And brass knuckles. Yeah. This chick is hard.
She's wild. You guys, Eric and Ronald, Carter and Burbach, you guys are in an Uber. It's 2015, they're Ubers, right? You guys are in a 2015 Uber. And you guys, you know, maybe you give them extra cash, just like get us there quick, no matter what. You know, or whatever. And you guys also have a little time to look through and compare your equipment. You were given these bags when you got off the plane. Like, you did not check luggage. Nonetheless, you were given these when you left the plane. So what we got
Carter just looks in his, and, you know, he's got a Kevlar vest, some handcuffs, satchel charge, which I'm assuming is like C4.
Oof. Kinda.
It's a... Yeah.
Remote detonated one.
Mm-hmm. It's a remote detonated backpack, basically. It's like a small backpack.
Like a remote...
It has a 1911.45 Cal pistol Thompson submachine gun in there. M3 fighting knife. And then he just pulls up... I think it's called... How you pronounce it? It's a steel wire Garrote.
Garrote. Or Garrett. Is it Garrett? Garrote?
Garrote.
I've heard Garrote.
Garrote?
Apparently they're four Garrote. Different pronunciations.
Garrote.
Let's go with Garrote.
He just like holds it up, and smiles, wire. And then puts it back in his case.
Well, like, and you're sitting behind the driver, too. And there's a moment where you pick it up
like,
and you kind of turn towards Burbach a little bit. Like, and you look at the back of that driver's head, and it's like,
Santa came early for you, Eric.
What about Burbach? What are we packing?
He just pats the sides of his bag, and in it he kind of feels like this long oblong. He knows it's a black jet, and then he's got a couple of there's some things rolling around. He's got some pineapple grenades, MK2s, some phosphor grenades, incendiaries, and then one long. He doesn't even need to take it out, but he knows it's an M12 shotgun, and then he's got a trusty little 45 caliber pistol, 1911, right. Up in there.
Yeah.
Couple of handcuffs.
You guys
and Kevlar vest.
Yeah, this is not unusual for you guys.
He knows.
This is what you do. So you guys get to the Snooze Inn and you see this navy sedan, and you see a woman in her early 40s sitting, or I don't know, is like she's smoking, like sit standing outside the car smoking, sitting in the car, or is she not smoking at all? Is she eating a sandwich? Like, what's she doing when they drive?
Talking about June?
Yeah, June.
Health smoothie.
June would be eating for sure, Brad Pitt style in Ocean's 11. Nice. She's always eating something.
Yeah. Yeah, you see her, she's wearing a navy, like, she's wearing kind of like slacks with a navy t-shirt. Like, it looks like she like changed her shirt for some reason. And maybe Carter, as you walk up, being observant as you are, maybe you make out slight blood flecks, like on part of her somewhere that maybe she missed. This is who you're here to meet. You're 90% sure that this is who you're here to meet.
Eric walks up.
Sorrow.
Ronald walks up. So what's the password? To June.
Password.
We'll say that between that you were both told, you were given like a phrase, you know, like maybe it's like loud out here. It's like sounds like static.
Ooh, I like that.
Mm.
What's the password?
I can see where this is going. Carter will just, Eric will just, he'll obviously, this is the person we're here to see, and he'll kind of walk around the car, inspect it himself, hand the money to our Uber, and then come back over to June and be like, so this is white noise.
Doesn't seem like anything to me.
Anyone know where
Carter
this...
Carter or Burbot? You Carter or Burbot?
Carter, as he pushes up his glasses.
The nice pair of glasses you got there. She puts her hands out. June. Pleasure.
Takes her hand.
That must make you Burbot. Offers her hand out to you.
Pleased to meet you.
Well, gentlemen, I trust everything has gone smooth.
So far, so good. Does anyone Burbach, know where
we're going about our business?
Burbach, this is where you look in the back seat and you see a what looks like a garbage bag full of bloody clothes.
June, where have you come from? Do we need to do a little bit of a house cleaning before we get started?
It wouldn't be a bad idea. Let's just say I had to improvise. Things didn't quite go according to plan.
All right, he'll just get on it. He'll just open
some
the back
asshole
door.
From A-Cell fucked me over, like they always do.
Fucking A-Cell.
So he'll just go and
I'll take care of the clothes.
Okay.
Carter says he'll take care of the clothes if y'all go inside and get the room situated.
Yeah, and it doesn't take... Yeah, we can skip the, like, you know, like, especially like a sketchy dumpster like this, like you double bag the thing, maybe you like grab a bunch of other trash from the dumpster and throw it in the second bag so that no one's going to open this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You just throw it in there, you know, it'll be rotting in a landfill for the next 3,000 years before anyone fucking finds it. But you guys pop in, there's a woman there and she's like, you know, like in her mid 40s as well. She's like, well, welcome. Welcome. It's can I get you guys a room? And it's no issue. And the thing is like when you go in this place, most hotels they ask you for an ID. She doesn't. She's like, well, you're renting for the hour, for the day. What are you looking for? You know, because like, and she's looking at you two and giving you like a knowing look when she asks about hour.
Hours all I need, baby.
And the woman turns from
way
Burbot
to seem not suspicious at all.
His charisma is dog shit.
Well, she...
his charisma is pretty bad. She turns to June. She's like, little old for the biz, aren't you? Which is a little insulting.
June kind of, you see the slightest squint of her eyes, but she's like, still making good money, aren't I?
She just goes, she's like, so an hour is all you want?
Yeah, we'll go with an hour. With the option for more. She kind of winks at Bartok.
Burbach.
Oh, Burbach.
Burbach. Yeah.
Burbach.
Yep.
Not the famous piano composer.
Yeah, so she just turns the book. She's like, so what name should I put down? You know, because again, she doesn't ask you for your ID or anything, like most
Cherry.
Of Cherry. So she writes down Cherry. Make me an alertness check.
Okay.
Let's see. Make sure you're using your sheet. You're right. Your correct sheet.
Yeah, I'm on it.
It's good. 31 under 40.
31 under 40.
Okay.
You look down as she's writing. These are all fake names. It appears that this is not just a place that offers by the hour. This might be a place that almost exclusively does by the hour. And you see, Bojack Horseman, President Harry S. Truman, Tom Cruise with two O's, you know, like stuff like that. Like, and as you're going, it's like, and you're just like very much like, all right, this is the kind of place, you know. And there's a moment where you look up at the camera, and you're like, you're kind of worried about, do I want to worry about it? But with your alertness check, you realize that you don't think the camera is being recorded. You think it's literally just a camera that goes straight to the TV. Like, you, like, look at the wires, and it just runs straight to the TV. This is not being recorded at all. This is one of those places.
Just a live feed.
Yeah, just a live feed to make people feel like they're being watched. You guys pop over into a room. It's clean for the most part. About this time, June, you receive a text message.
Okay.
And these guys are literally like getting up there in the room, you know, and I don't know are you guys just got off a flight? Are you like pulling out your weapons and checking them? Like, what are you doing?
Like, yeah, Carter, first thing, Carter checks the room, you know, opens the door, makes sure everything's opens the bathroom. Yeah. I mean, I think he's such a professional. He's like, you know, he went through he knows that they're good just from looking at them in the Uber, and he's just like sitting there patiently, like very controlled in the chair.
He's just, yeah, Ronald.
He's like Leon the Professional. He's just sitting there just like,
yeah, basically
waiting.
Just like stone face.
just ready to be activated.
Yeah. And June is doing a sweep of the room, and I think she kind of just like absently, straightens a painting that is just slightly crooked. She just makes it perfectly straight.
And you can probably change into like jeans or something, you know, to like kind of match everything if you want.
June puts on her hooker outfit.
Nice.
Ronald's there. He's got one of his grenades. He's like checking his equipment as well, but he kind of just gets a little fixated and he starts flicking the pin on the grenade. Like, ting, 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 ting.
Carter, this is really fucking annoying.
Ting, 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 ting.
And he always does this.
Nervous, Burbach?
Oh, not at all.
He has like,
I just love the sound it makes when I take it out.
Maybe, Burbach, maybe you hold the spoon and you pull the pin and then like slide it back in. And then you pull it again.
Do it again.
And you slide it back in.
And he's just sitting
June
on this.
June clocks this and she's like, boys, we don't have time for a dick measuring contest. We got work to do.
Well, we're waiting on you. Tell us like, where to measure our dicks. Cherry.
Cherry. June, you get a...
June rolls her eyes hard.
It's always like this. With these fucking assholes. You know, like, you, like, June, you like being on the cleanup team. Like, it's a great time, and it lets you really do what you love, which is destroying the unnatural. But they always send you some fucking meatheads, man. It's like, like, you think Carter might be
June was in the Marines, right?
Yeah, and you're used to it. You're totally accustomed to it, and maybe even comfortable with it. Yeah, you were, it's like, and, you know, maybe even as he's pulling the pin, you have a small flashback to that shink, fling, as that spring-loaded spoon goes out, you know, and there's like a scene run placed through your head of, you know, of like Lance Corporal Jones like tossing in a grenade through a cracked door right before they storm in, and you third in line, stacked up, you know, going in and just like cleaning this house. June has seen some shit, like big time.
Maybe she feels an involuntary twitch of the trigger finger.
Like so.
She's admonishing these two.
Right.
He probably notices this, but he doesn't stop. He just looks up like, June, want me to stop? We've only got an hour.
About that time, that's when the phone buzzes. You know, and the
Carter will automatically just like, whoosh, like the phone.
To the phone.
Yeah.
Is Carter just an anime character? Like, he just
seems like it. It seems so.
Yes.
Leon the Professional, but anime. Yeah. That is a sick concept.
That'd be a really good anime. It's probably been done.
I would watch it.
But yeah, your phone goes off, June, and this is that burner that was in the... This is like your emergency burner that you had in that Ziploc bag underneath the seat when fucking Jericho left, right? You open it up, and you see it's like... and it just says, good work at the boxer, period. New possible lead, comma, see address, period. Fire department on scene, period. Use FBI cover, period. And, you know, okay. you have, and the thing is Jericho left his fucking FBI badge, and Darius, well, didn't need his anymore, or Julius didn't need his anymore. So you have three FBI badges, and you see this address.
All right, we've got a heading. Been instructed to go as FBI this time. Who's driving?
Maybe it'll give Burbach
okay,
some.
Drive.
Oh. Okay.
Ronald
sounds
will
good.
Pack up his stuff, get going, kind of beeline out of the hotel straight past the lady, give her a wink, say, didn't even need an hour. Straight to the car.
It's been like 10
I love
minutes.
This guy. This guy is.
And again, keep in mind, his charisma is 8, so it doesn't come off well.
No.
Like, okay. He's like, his face is all scarred up. he's like, didn't even need an hour. Like, one of those, like, big.
A wink.
So you guys load up in this sedan, in the sedan from nowhere, as far as you've been told. And I imagine you keep all your equipment with you and you guys head out and you go down the road and there's a moment, you know, Carter, Eric Carter. Carter, you look as, you know, as you guys are driving by, and this is kind of a sketchy part of town. There's this video store, and called Video Nation, and it's like a Blockbuster knockoff thing. It's like, you're surprised it's still there, and you kind of look at it as you go by, because there's someone standing at the plate glass window in the front, and the sign says closed, and they're just standing there with both hands in their pockets. Just some guy, looks like he might be like a, I don't know, like kind of like a tall black guy, like a little older. And he just hard eye contact watches as you guys drive by. And it's kind of gets under your skin a little bit, but it's like, there's lots of people, lots of weirdos. You're past some people who are obviously like tweaking on the side of the sidewalk and stuff. It's just weird, you know, and it unnerves you a bit.
Carter smiles and is like, I feel like we're getting close.
this is it.
Carter, don't be so
June
goddamn weird.
I love that from the front seat, Burbach. It's like, quit being so weird. Think. Like, as he pulls the pin on a grenade. Yeah.
Sorry, remind me what this text message said exactly again.
It gave you an address. It said firefighters are on the scene.
Okay.
Implying that there's a fire or something.
Gotcha.
Firefighters already on the scene. Use FBI cover, and it gives you an address. But the first thing it said was good job at the Boxer Hotel. You know, dude, good job with the Boxer. June. Yeah, to yeah. June. I don't know if she read that bit.
Was that where all this popped off initially, where the guy crawled through the window and murdered the...
And murdered Julius, yeah. And murdered Julius, Agent okay. Julius, who you know, okay. you know Agent Julius's real name. His name was Darius, or his last name was Darius, at least. You're, you know, familiar with him. You've worked with him a lot in the past, and it's like this might be the first moment, the first really moment where you've had an opportunity to really think about the fact that you just lost a really damn good cleaner, and he was caught completely unawares. But that's the way the fucking unnatural is. Like, it doesn't matter how good you are. Like,
this feels exactly like the very first episode of Game of Thrones that I saw with Brad, which was The Red Wedding. And I was just dropped in the middle of the shit. I had no idea what's going on. No idea
what's happening. Well, good. It's very media res, right? Frederick Darius was his name. And he's gone now. And you burned him in that room with the rest of the room. But anyway, but you guys make it. You guys head out towards the kind of suburbs of Boston, and you very quickly end up in this like kind of new developed kind of high end suburb, you know, like nice two story houses. Most of them are kind of under construction. It looks like a lot of them are under construction. But it's very quick to realize where you're going before you even enter off of like the highway or the main road. You see wisp of smoke. In the distance, and you guys kind of curve down again. Most of these places are under construction, and there's like a whole bunch of construction workers across the street from this location who looked like they'd been working on a house, and they're all like kind of standing around watching. Like, instead of, it looks like some of them are getting in their trucks and leaving and stuff like that. But one of these houses, it looks like one of the only houses that looks mostly done. It looks there's been a fire in the upper floors. It looks like most of it's out at this juncture, and there are firefighters all kind of scattered around as you guys roll up. There might be like a singular cop car, and everything else is firefighters. As you guys roll up in the sedan.
Yeah, we get out, and I'll walk up to one of the firefighters and say, "What's the situation?" Flash the badge, FBI. What's the situation?
He's like. FBI, what? It's like, and he kind of turns, and he's like, we're almost done here. He's like, I don't know anything about this.
Where's your superior? Who's in charge here?
You see a firefighter with like a white helmet as opposed to like a yellow helmet. You know, he comes over, he's like, what's going on? What's all this?
FBI. Can you... Yeah, I'll just say again. What's the situation?
FBI. What is FBI? This is a house fire. This someone set a fire in the...
This is one of ours. It's not your business. It's FBI business.
Like, one of the cops comes over and is like, he's like, whoa, what's going on here? That's, you know, kind of thing. I'm gonna dispense with the rigmarole. Like, the three of you all have badges, you all have, at least one of you has a really high criminology or law, one of the other. In fact, June, I believe, has a pretty high. She very quickly, you know, like, with her skill, because I think your skill is like 50 or 60, is that right?
Yeah, I've also got a 60.
Her law is 50 and her criminology is 40. And between all of you guys, like, you guys are able to throw out some, like, once you throw out the word Homeland Security, a lot of shit just happens, right? You know, it's like the cops are like, I guess you can look in there. I mean, there's like an arson investigator coming. Are you sure you guys need to go in there first? There was a bunch of like popping and stuff in there. I think there might have been something else stashed in the house. And the fire captain tells you, he's like, there's been secondary detonations the entire time we've been here. We're lucky we got here in time to put it out. Like, there's something up in that house.
Okay.
Why do you think we're here?
Or, like, then it sounds like you need to get to safety.
Ooh. You know, and when Carter says that, there is a venom in it. And the captain and this cop, they kind of look at each other. And this is that moment where they're like, we're out of our depth. These feds just showed up out of nowhere. And, like, you guys have effectively put the fear of God in these people. And they're like, well, listen, like, do you want me to leave some guys here in case it starts back up? Or, like...
No. No.
Can I move
Cap, my trucks? Best if you didn't.
Cap, just listen. Do me a favor. Just cancel that arson investigator. Get you guys out of here. And make sure that this is cleaned up. Let's go. Chop, chop.
I don't...
Chop, chop.
June... Well, maybe, like,
chop, chop,
put a hand on his shoulder like, be very sincere and be like, trust me, you don't want to be a part of this one.
Okay, he's like, all right. And, like, they were already kind of packing up. It looks like there are some guys who have gone in and coming out, you know, like, in their turnouts with their gear and stuff, and they're pulling their mask off, and they're like, and the captain, he's like, what's the containment on that? And they're like, oh, just a few smolders, sir, you know, just a few smokers left. And he's like... And someone says, they're like, there's like a bunch of military equipment in there. And the second they say that, the cops and the captain are like, he's like, get those hoses back on the truck. These guys are going to handle it. We're out of here.
Before you go.
There's very much.
Is there anyone else left in there?
No, we've got all of our guys, you know. They've tracked right. Everybody they've got in. They pull all their people out. Basically, they've got all their guys out, and they're, like, rolling up hoses and stuff. You guys have access. You see that the garage door is open. But they look like they have gone inside the house through the front door, and they're, like, dragging the hoses back out the front door the way they came. It looks like they have gone in, and maybe the front door has been kicked in. And you can see that it looks like the hoses had gone upstairs, but they're now pulling them all out, and they're getting people. They're getting their dudes out.
Joe, quick situational description. Just before we go in, what does this place look like? Is this any familiarity to places we've seen before?
This is definitely the demon's house.
This is the demon house. This is the safe house that you guys were brought to.
All right, so two-story house. Now, yeah.
The two-story house, the attached garage. Yeah, 100%. And as you guys, and even, you know, if you guys are looking in the garage, you know, as these guys will say that, June, you're the one who noticed there appears to be some type of, there seems to be a small ashes and blackness of a small fire in the middle of the garage.
Take a look at this. What do you guys make of this?
Oh, and there's Carter. Some type of weird symbol here.
You ever seen anything like this before?
What should I roll, Carter? Roll forensics or search? Or
you can unnatural. Roll. You can roll whatever you want. If you have any unnatural, you can roll it. I don't think any of you do.
I do not. I'm gonna roll search.
Actually, that's not appropriate. I think all three of you should have it a 5 in unnatural. That's my bad.
All right.
Okay. I just made it. Anyway, I failed the search.
You can't see anything. This is definitely some weird sigil.
I roll an occult?
Sure. Do you have a cult?
Yeah, super low. It's only 10. Yeah. But why not?
Yeah, give it a go.
I'll get in on that as well. I hate.
Got some lag on roll 20.
Unnatural shit.
Holy shit. Agent June. A 2.
Wow. Under 10. Wow.
So you know that there is this in, like, kind of demonology, there is this, like, there are these summoning rituals. A lot of them are complete bullshit. You know that most of them are, like, very much like Wikipedia occultism, right? But this reminds you of something called one of the Lesser Keys of Solomon, which is associated with the summoning of demons. And there's, like, the little papers and stuff that are burnt, they're too fucked up to really make anything out of, but this is some cult shit. And it's like, and immediately June, like, I feel like June, like, something rises up within you. It's not nervousness. It, again, is that disgust that is just in you.
Carter will clock this on June and be like, is it getting hot in here, June?
And she just kind of, like, slowly looks over his shoulder at him, and she just says, weapons.
Okay.
Nice.
And then Carter clocks
and gets a duffel bag.
They get
Carter
ready.
Already has his Garrot and his pistol on him, and he'll cock his pistol.
Right. And you guys could probably have holsters and stuff if you want them, but if you want to go out and get strapped and bring everything in, you absolutely can.
Yeah, Ron's going to do that.
Are the firefighters gone yet?
We'll say they're still packing up. It takes a fire truck a long time to get ready, or you know. But you could definitely like bring your duffel bags in. I imagine the scene, like the firefight from the firefighter's perspective, they're like getting ready, and maybe they're like all loading up in the engine to leave. And one of them looks out, and they just see Burbach with a duffel bag over his shoulder, pull the garage door down.
That's so badass.
And they just like. And he, like, looks over at the fire captain, and, like, and the two of you are standing in the back also with your bags. Like, you're also standing in the garage. And they look at the fire captain. The fire captain's like, I don't want nothing to do with that. They're just like, nope.
I think Carr will immediately scatter these ashes so they don't make this mark, you know?
Right. It appears that the mark itself is written in charcoal, like, of burnt stuff, so you could probably destroy the sigil fairly easily. It's not going to take a lot.
You boys ever had any run-ins with demons?
Don't think so.
I think that's classified.
What he said.
That's probably the correct response, is...
That's all well and fine, but I just want to say I think that's what we're working with. All right.
Makes no difference to me. Okay.
You guys, this house looks to be almost completely finished. Like, maybe the only thing that hasn't been done is, like, the carpet hasn't been put down or something like that, right? Still smells like construction and fire. There on the wall is a piece of paper with an arrow that points up the stairs. You don't know if the firefighters put it there. You don't know why they would have put it there. That doesn't really make sense. But the firefighters have definitely been upstairs, and you can see if there's water, maybe even dripping from the ceiling. Like they've, put a bunch of water upstairs. I assume you guys are going to go up tactically because you're a bunch of badasses.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Carter, I'm assuming Burbach would go first since he's like kind of the muscle, and Carter
They used to call me Tiny.
You guys are pulling out your big weapons?
Yes.
I think Carter would just have his pistol.
Yeah.
Right now, but.
Shotgun for Burbach.
Pistol for June.
Yeah, Burbach pulls out this 12 gauge, like old school military shotgun, and is going to go up the stairs. First with it. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out which room it was. It appears that the master bedroom, you see, all the steps and everything. You walk in, and the first thing that greets you are dozens upon dozens of green, like, military wooden and, what do you call those? Like, hard box military equipment boxes full of every type of ammunition under the sun. It appears... that there was a fire set in the bathtub. It is like it's all black in there, and the bathroom is all burnt up. Looks like it got into the ceiling a little bit, but the fire department was able to get it done. But the heat started to cook off rounds in the boxes that were closest to the bathroom. You can see that the boxes have like maybe there's like a big box of like 7.62 ammunition or something like that. That's like you can tell that rounds have escaped this box from cooking off from the heat. But everything's wet, and there's just ammunition fucking everywhere.
God damn it.
Looks like somebody was ready to go to war.
How the hell are we going to clean this up now? How many times do you think we can flush these down the toilet?
Even if the bullet says it's flushable, it's not. Trust me.
It's not flushable. That's what the plumbers will tell you. So yeah, but you can tell that the source of the fire was in the bathtub, and the bathtub is now mostly full of water.
Probably go check that out.
Yeah.
Let's look at this bathtub.
Can I maybe forensics see if there's anything I can?
Oh, 100%. What a great use for forensics.
That's a failure. 47 over 40.
honestly, like, even looking at this, you're not even sure a team of forensics people, just with the amount of water damage. That's a problem with fire stuff, right? And I will tell you this, though. You will know this as Burbach, as a, you know, as a police officer, and even June. You know that fires are often used to... That there are two reasons that fires are set. To cause destruction or to hide evidence. Like, it's either specifically designed to destroy something or it's meant to hide evidence. And you think,
okay,
you think that has done the job.
With that in mind, could I do a search?
Yeah, give me...
Possibly see what evidence was trying to be destroyed?
Certainly. I said, it looks like it's centered on the bathtub itself, so...
That's a success. 23 under 40.
So, Burbach, you're maybe standing over, you know, the back. You kind of look around, and Burbach's having his lost calls.
What a mess.
I imagine, Carter, you're, like, popping the tops on this thing, and every time you pop the top on a new box, it is a new type of ammunition. Like, it's just for every weapon under the sun, you know? You even find a huge... And I will say that you find a big, big box of drum magazines, of loaded drum magazines for a Tommy gun, which is really handy. And maybe
Carl will take one of those and put it in his bag.
Yeah,
to his Tommy gun.
Yeah. So you pick it up. It's like, ah, nice, you know, and you stick it away. June, you get down on your knees and kind of like so the bathtub is like full to the top with water from the fire department, you assume, and you kind of reach down in the water, and there's something at the bottom, and as you you put your hand in, and it's like, you know, you're not really expecting much, and you start to pull something out, but then it's like this smell hits you, and it's like, you're like, God, like, and you wonder really quick, you're like, fuck, is this fire department water? This reeks. Like, it's disgusting. It is awful. And you... go ahead.
Does it smell like decomposing bodies?
Yes. It's a mix of decomp and chemical smells. And maybe like the smell of the fire kind of clouded it at first, but then like you're like, oh God, and you're kind of like regretting reaching down into this. But you pull out what appears to be about a foot square piece of material. And it's like, it's sooty and burned. And it's all different colors. Like, it's got a, it's kind of a thick, almost like a, like thickness, almost like a rug, kind of, like very thick, hard.
But it's got a sheen like oil, you said? Or is it just, you're just saying it's multicolored?
The liquid. No, it's multicolored, as in it's like the fabric is multicolored. Oh, okay. Right? With these designs. And as you look close, you see that along the seam, you see tiny symbols stitched in gold thread. And right as your eyes even begin to focus on them, you hear right at your left ear a whisper so close that you can feel the breath on your ear. Have you seen it? As you gaze upon the yellow sign. And that, my friends, is where we're going to cut it for this one.
Nice.
What the fuck?
This is the same shit that was in the fucking Samahina's home. You remember we had a tub full of decomposed shit?
Who can say?
Yeah, yeah. Who can say the same thing?
All right. Well, I hope that switching this up on you guys has been fun.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, buddy. If I had known that we were playing a completely different game, I wouldn't have stayed up till 3 o'clock partying last night.
Sorry about that. I'll make sure next time I send you guys important game-based DMs that I verify you've gotten them. All right. Well, listen, everyone, thank you so much for joining us. If you are joining us live, Pumpkin and Wills, I see you guys are there. Thank you for joining us. This is a bit of a side thing.
Good to see you again.
But we are going to be back. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to be back for another session. If you are listening, watching later, again, thank you so much for joining us. And remember, as always, please, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.